In a world that so often seems to be spinning out of control, it would be easy to be overwhelmed by the evil we see. No one of us can solve the great problems of the world, but we can change the world one life at a time, beginning in our own hearts.
That's the Reverend Canon Scott Gunn, and today he brings you a powerful message for Advent called Shining the Light of Grace. I'm Peter Wallace. It's day one.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. We're delighted to have with us today the Reverend Canon Scott Gunn, Executive Director of Forward Movement, based in Cincinnati, Ohio. Scott served churches in Rhode Island before coming to Forward Movement in 2011. He's a graduate of Luther College and earned Master of Divinity and Master of Arts degrees from Yale Divinity School with Anglican Studies at Berkeley Divinity School at Yale. He also earned a master's from Brown University. Scott is the author or co-author of several books and resources, including The Way of Love, A Practical Guide to Following Jesus. A frequent church and conference speaker, he spends Sundays when he's not traveling at Christ Church Glendale. Scott, welcome to Day One.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Forward Movement is an independent agency of the Episcopal Church, and its tagline is Inspire Disciples, Empower Evangelists. What are some of the ways you and your team fulfill that mission?
Well, our work is to help Christians figure out how to follow Jesus through the week, not just on Sunday morning, but the rest of the week as well. Mm-hmm. One of the ways we do that is through Forward Day by Day, a devotional that gives people a little scripture and a reflection every day of the year. We also offer apps, we host conferences, and we publish books and pamphlets.
And you've been with the organization since 2011, but it's been serving the church for much longer than that. Sketch a bit of the history for us.
It's a great story. The Episcopal Church was struggling in the 1930s. There were money issues, and a lot of people felt that it wasn't serving the mission that the church should serve. So at our big denominational gathering, the General Convention, someone said, we need a forward movement in the church. And they weren't sure what that looked like, but the church did what the church always does when it's not sure what to do and made a committee called the Forward Movement Commission. And that became Forward Movement. And the people who started Forward Movement had the insight that's still true today, that if we want the church to be healthy, we need our congregations to be healthy. And if we want our congregations to be healthy, we need them to be filled with disciples.
Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, Forward Movement not only publishes the Forward Day by Day devotional, but also books and pamphlets, but it also offers all sorts of other resources and programs for churches. But I want to ask you about the new and improved app that you make available.
Sure. The app is called Day by Day. You can find it on the Apple Store or the Google Play Store. And it offers what we call the daily office, morning prayer and evening prayer and noonday prayer and compline from the Episcopal Church's Book of Common Prayer. But you don't have to be Episcopalian to pray those.
That's right.
It offers devotions from Forward Day by Day, just a little snippet or a reflection to think about. It offers scripture readings, other prayers, and all sorts of resources to help people have a prayer life every day.
And you've made that at no charge.
It's free. And it also includes, I should say, you can click a button on the app and listen to our podcasts built right into the app so you can have a nice audio experience too.
Wonderful. Your latest book is The Way of Love, A Practical Guide to Following Jesus, and it is just that. How do you hope readers use that book?
My experience as a parish priest was there were quite a few people who came to church who wanted to have a prayer life, who wanted to know more of the scriptures, who wanted to serve other people, but they weren't quite sure where to start. They weren't sure how to begin. And so The Way of Love, A Practical Guide to Following Jesus, is filled with first steps and encouragement for the person, whether they're a brand new Christian or have been coming to church for decades, and they never quite put it to work in their own lives. It's all encouragement, no shame, no guilt, just a friendly nudge toward a daily prayer life.
Mm-hmm. So you were last with us in early 2019, and since then, the world has been rocked by the pandemic. From your vantage point, how do you think the church responded to these challenges?
So I think before the pandemic, a lot of us were coasting, operating on habit in the church. Churches were doing that, and those of us in churches were doing that. I think the pandemic, with all of its disruption, has made us look at everything that's happening in the church or not happening in the church and take nothing for granted. I think the pandemic has encouraged us to practice our faith at home. It's encouraged churches to really think about the needs of our members. So I know it's been a lot of work. It's been hugely disruptive. I think ultimately it's healthy for the church and for our followers.
Do you think the pandemic and its impact on the church has changed discipleship?
I don't think the fundamentals of discipleship change. I think being a follower of Jesus, being a disciple, means committing myself to pattern my life after what Jesus modeled for us, if I can. And I think that means learning the scriptures and having habits of prayer and celebrating good news and serving those in need. And I think those fundamentals are the same, pandemic or no pandemic.
Yeah. Scott, your life story is quite interesting. So far, you made a significant career change from the tech world to the ministry. How did you experience your calling to the ministry?
Well, not only did I go from the tech world to ministry, but within the tech world, I had a little bit of an evolution.
Yeah.
I worked for basically a venture capital firm. I worked at a corporation, and then I started working for universities, and then I went to work at a nonprofit. And in each of those callings, I started seeing my salary go down and my sense of purpose go up. And finally, I had the sense that I really wanted to answer God's call and to serve in the church. And fortunately, at Forward Movement, I get to put my tech background to work some.
Yeah. Well, this Sunday, we enter a new church year with the first Sunday of Advent. How do you approach this season of preparation for the birth of Jesus?
Well, I think one practice I like to do is exactly what you said, to keep it focused on preparation for the birth of Jesus, getting my life in order, and not so much the commercial side of Christmas. Yeah. I don't begrudge anyone buying and receiving gifts. I love to do it myself, but that's just the side dish. The entree is celebrating the birth of our Savior. And so I like to try to focus on that as much as I can.
Scott, your sermon is based on the epistle lesson from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Would you read it for us?
I'd be glad to. A reading from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints.
This comes at the end of the Apostle Paul's first letter to this church. Why do you think it was selected as a lectionary text for this first Sunday of Advent?
Well, a couple reasons. One is it starts off with Thanksgiving while we're still kind of stuffed with turkey ourselves. But I also think it talks about trying to become blameless, trying to be ready, trying to be pure and holy to welcome Jesus, not just at Christmas, but when he comes in glory.
Scott, we look forward to hearing your sermon, Shining the Light of Grace. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you for having me.
And if you'd like to listen again to today's program with Scott Gunn with an extended interview, you can subscribe to Day One Weekly Program on your favorite podcast app or listen on our website at dayone.org. And if you'd like a free printed sermon transcript, just call us at 404-815-9110.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A few days ago, we celebrated Thanksgiving. At our home, we're still eating our way through leftovers, and maybe that's true for your home, too. It's not only about the food, though, as delicious as cranberry relish can be. More than eating leftovers and remembering time with family, I love this time of year just after Thanksgiving because for a few days, it seems that we allow our hearts to be filled with gratitude. It's not just Thanksgiving Day that reminds us to be grateful. Malls and websites will not let us forget that Christmas is coming. We talk about the Christmas spirit, those little acts of kindness and generosity that seem to flourish this time of year. Even through the veil of commerce, we can see fullest joy on the horizon as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Grace upon grace. The Church, in its own way, bids us to prepare to greet Jesus with the season of Advent that begins today. Advent points us to Christmas, and it calls us also to ready our hearts to meet Jesus Christ when He comes again in glory. On this first Sunday of Advent, our readings offer solemn warning that we must get our lives in order so that we may be found blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. But where do we begin? How can we achieve the seemingly impossible state of being blameless? St. Paul was a man steeped in gratitude. He was poignantly aware of the grace and mercy of God in his own life, and his letters again and again speak of gratitude and grace. Without God's having loved him first, St. Paul would not have become the pastor and missionary who changed the world. Keenly aware of God's grace, St. Paul was easily moved toward gratitude. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Here, St. Paul is grateful for those Christians he loved, and out of that gratitude, he hoped their lives would abound in the same love that he had found in his own heart through the grace of God. If the Thessalonians were going to increase and abound in love for one another and for all, the journey would begin in gratitude as they sensed God's grace at work in St. Paul and in their own lives. And out of gratitude for God's love, they would want to share that love with the church and with the world. In a world that concerns itself primarily with making sure everyone gets what they deserve, no more and no less, how can we fill our hearts with grace? Jesus spoke about how to change our hearts. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, if we want to change our hearts, we spend our money so that our heart will follow. Instead of waiting to feel like changing, we lead our hearts by our actions. It's like that with gratitude, too. When I was a child, my mom always made me write thank you notes to the relatives who sent me Christmas gifts. As an adult, I still make a regular practice of writing thank you notes. Sometimes, when my gratitude wanes, the mere act of saying thank you helps me to be more grateful. Practicing gratitude leads our hearts, and then our hearts lead us to more gratitude. In his gratitude for and love of the Thessalonians, St. Paul hoped that they would increase and abound in love for one another and for all. May we all desire to abound in love for one another and for all. Perhaps you and I could see Advent as a time to abound in love for one another and for all. As we prepare to worship Jesus at Christmas and to greet him when he comes in glory, we will surely want to turn, to repent, to become blameless. If our hearts are filled with anger, with hatred, and with fear, there isn't much room for love. And it works the other way around, too. If we fill our hearts with gratitude, with hope, with mercy, and with love, there is less room there for fear and hatred. Let's be clear. Love is a practice. Love is an action. Love is not merely a feeling. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. preached about this when he taught about what it means to love our enemies. In a sermon delivered in 1957, he said, "It's significant that Jesus does not say, like your enemy. Like is a sentimental something, an affectionate something. There are a lot of people that I find it difficult to like. I don't like what they do to me. I don't like what they say about me and other people. I don't like their attitudes. I don't like some of the things they're doing. I don't like them. But Jesus says, love them. And love is greater than like. Love is understanding, redemptive goodwill for all people, so that you love everybody because God loves them." There it is again, the connection between grace and love. God loves us, and so we love others. We love everybody because God loves them. And we love others with practices, with actions, not merely with feelings. St. Paul does not call us to abound in sentimental feelings, but to abound in love. Jesus did not call us to sentimental feelings, but to love. This Advent season is not just a time to have our sentimental feelings, but a time to love. If we want to be blameless before Jesus when we meet him, we do well to follow St. Paul's desire for the Thessalonians. We must abound in love. But how? How do we abound in love? How do we move beyond mere feelings into actions? How do we cultivate a life that practices love? It comes back to repentance, to turning. We have to turn away from anything that isn't about love and turn toward those things that are about love. Of all the prayers in the Episcopal Church's Book of Common Prayer, one of my favorites is the one assigned to today, to the first Sunday of Advent. It begins, "Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." Before we can cast something away, we first have to see it and name it. The armor of light, God's power and glory, is our help and strength. We can look at ourselves and our world and shine the light of grace to reveal what needs to be cast away. If we're going to fill our hearts with love, we need to cast away the hatred and fear that so often fill our hearts. If we're going to love others, we need to cast away selfishness and anger and indifference. If we're going to work for a world in which love can thrive, we need to cast away oppression, violence, and degradation. In a world that so often seems to be spinning out of control, it would be easy to be overwhelmed by the evil we see. No one of us can solve the great problems of the world, but we can change the world one life at a time, beginning in our own hearts. Once a year or so, because of a treatable medical condition, I visit a cardiologist. My visit always includes an echocardiogram, a look inside my heart to see how it's functioning. This season of Advent is a good time for a checkup. We can look inside ourselves to see how our hearts are functioning. Are our hearts filled with fear, with hatred, with anger? Or are our hearts filled with gratitude, with mercy and love? I think it's safe to say we'll all find a little of each. I love this season of Advent because we have an invitation to cast away those things that distract us from love. We have the opportunity to turn toward Jesus. We have the mercy and grace of God, which by the power of the Spirit can strengthen us to abound in love. Let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day,
when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal. Through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to the Reverend Canon Scott Gunn, an Episcopal priest who serves as Executive Director of Forward Movement, based in Cincinnati, Ohio. For a free transcript of his sermon for the first Sunday of Advent, Shining the Light of Grace, call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Keep in mind that Day 1 depends on the financial offerings of our faithful listeners. Please send your gift to Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. We're grateful for your help. And remember, to listen again to today's program, read the sermon transcript, donate to this ministry, and much more, you can visit us online anytime at dayone.org. I'm Peter Wallace. Next week on Day 1, we're honored to welcome the Reverend Susan Langhauser, Senior Pastor of Advent Lutheran Church in Olathe, Kansas. Be sure to listen for her inspiring Advent sermon, Setting the Table for Jesus. Next time on Day 1. This is Peter Wallace. In difficult times, Day One continues to proclaim God's hope for our hurting and divided world. And we couldn't do it without your support. We work hard to be the best stewards possible of God's provision through loyal listeners like you, and we're deeply grateful for everyone who donates to our ministry. If you appreciate Day One and haven't given yet, I hope you'll help us too as the end of the year approaches. Please mail your gift to Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305, or call us at 404-815-9110, or donate securely online at dayone.org. Help Day 1 continue to share God's hope and love through powerful preaching. It's needed more than ever. Thank you, and God bless you. Our Day One preacher, Scott Gunn, offers some final reflections on his sermon today, Shining the Light of Grace. And Scott, thank you for getting us off to a great start in our Advent season. Our readings for this Sunday offer solemn warning. You said that we must get our lives in order so that we may be found blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints, as St. Paul put it here in 1 Thessalonians 3. And you asked, how can we achieve the seemingly impossible state of being blameless? And you answered that big question in your sermon, thank you. But would you say more about what being blameless actually means for us? What are we aiming for, and how do we get there?
Sure. So in the Book of Common Prayer of the Episcopal Church, when we baptize someone, we challenge them to grow into the full stature of Christ. Now, of course, none of us is the Savior, so we won't achieve that. Mm-hmm. But that's the direction in our earthly pilgrimage we're meant to go. practicing sacrificial love, always telling the truth, proclaiming a message of grace in a world that's often graceless. Mm. And so I think it's about committing to a direction. I'll never be blameless and you'll never be blameless, but it's about where our hearts is and the direction we're trying to go.
Mm-hmm. If the Thessalonians were going to increase and abound in love for one another and for all, the journey would begin in gratitude, you said, as they sensed God's grace at work in their own lives. And out of gratitude for God's love, they would want to share that love with the church and with the world. We, too, are called to increase and abound in love for one another and for all, and it starts with gratitude. So what might this look like if we're serious about it in our everyday lives?
Sure. Well, the first thing I think to think about is we live in a culture that says you pull yourself up by your bootstraps and your worth comes from what you do. And God's grace is just the opposite. Mm-hmm. We don't try to become good people to earn God's love. God loves us first. And that's the whole point, is to model a life that shows gratitude for the fact that God loves us first. Mm. What does that look like? Well, I think it means all those virtues that St. Paul talks about, patience, gentleness, self-control. It's a kind of a generosity, a spirit of love and grace that's only present by the work of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Scott, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will carry with them in the days ahead?
I hope in this season of Advent, without dwelling in the squalor of self-pity or too rigorous self-examination, we might all look at our own lives and figure out what we need to cast away to make room to worship and love Jesus.
Scott Gunn, thank you for being with us.
It's an honor and a blessing.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.